everybody. I'm so excited to present another episode of the Meaningful Connection podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest. I have the privilege of introducing Kalina Silverman. She is a journalist. She's a documentary producer. She wears many hats, but she's best known for her concept, which is Big Talk, which we're going to get into today. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show today.
Thanks for having me, David. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, well, Kalina, I would love to hear the backstory. Before we dive into the idea of Big Talk, give us like how, you know, give us from cradle to where you are now. Give us that.
Sure. Yeah. So Big Talk is a very simple idea. It's all about skipping the small talk to make more meaningful connections with people. And it actually started about 6 years ago when I was in college and moved away from home for the first time. And I was meeting all these new people, going to parties, having all sorts of interesting, very stimulating experiences, but feeling kind of disconnected. At the end of the day, I would come home and just feel this strange sense of loneliness, despite being super social. Hmm. And I realized that sometimes when you move to a new place or start a new job, a lot of times you'll meet people, but there's a lot of more superficial kinds of conversations that go around. And life can often move really fast. And during those times of transition also are when you often feel the most contemplative and actually craving those deeper things.
Yep.
And so I was feeling this kind of weird sense of loneliness. And then one night I was having a conversation with a friend that was pretty deep. And I said, wow, I wish more conversations could be like this. And he said, yeah, screw small talk. And immediately the name Big Talk popped into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end of the year, you know, I was making more friends and talking to more people. And I realized so many people were actually struggling with not only, you know, a sense of loneliness, but also with mental health issues, with things in their families, all sorts of things that we just never talked about. We just kept everything so surface level. And I realized like once you talked about it, it didn't have to be scary or difficult. It could actually just be a great sense of relief and deeper connections and bonds with people. And so I was studying journalism at the time. And that summer I went to Ecuador to do a documentary about education reform and then Germany to do one about the Holocaust. And in making those documentaries, you would, you know, just meet total strangers and dive right into their lives right away and form this instant, very serendipitous bond with people. And on my last day in Germany, I was visiting the Berlin Wall and I saw a question written on it that said, what do you want to do before you die? And for some reason that like instantly connected in my mind that that was what Big Talk was, you know, getting to really the heart of what people want and need in their lives. And I came back home to Santa Monica, California, and I had a couple months before school started where I had no obligations. And I decided to create this sort of personal passion project and social experiment that I called Big Talk, where I walked up to complete strangers and asked them, what do you want to do before you die? So I skipped the small talk right away with them. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter who I talked to, whether it was a homeless man at Venice Beach or a businessman sitting at Rodeo Drive or an elderly woman that I met at my grandma's complex or, you know, a teenage boy. I asked them all the same question. And what it really came down to was people wanted to spend time with their families and, you know, say the things that they've always wanted to say to people and do the things they've always wanted to do. And it just didn't matter what people looked like, how old they were, what they did. And it was really emotional. And it was, you know, the businessman who was like, oh, I only have 5 minutes to chat with you, who was the one who ended up breaking down and crying and talking with me the longest about how he just wanted to see his kids graduate from college. And he missed being with his mother. And so I created this video and I shared it, you know, with my friends on YouTube and Facebook, and people started sharing it and it went viral. And I started having people all over the world reaching out to me saying, hey, I saw your story and I've also struggled with the sense of disconnection. And this also really made me reflect on what I want to do with my life before I die. And then people started asking me like, so how do you actually make Big Talk? You know, like I'm not going to walk around with a video camera and talk to strangers, but I still want to be a part of Big Talk. And so then I started getting invited to give talks about how to make Big Talk. And I gave this TEDx talk called like how to skip the small talk and connect with anyone. And then that just took off on YouTube. And I think that's how you found me or how Bryn found me, was this talk. And then from there, the stories just started pouring in and Big Talk became this sort of grassroots movement. And I had people from all over the world sharing with me how they made Big Talk, whether it was soldiers in the army using Big Talk as a way to express their vulnerabilities, because that can be really hard, or a group of models in Thailand, because the modeling industry is really superficial. So they had a Big Talk dinner one night where they actually, you know, opened up about stuff beyond, you know, the surfaces of appearances. or people who were struggling with autism and Asperger's who weren't able to necessarily, you know, have deeper conversations on their own, but saw Big Talk as a tool for that. So there's all just these kind of cool ideas and examples. I even did a Big Talk program for prisoners who were about to be released and as a way to reconnect with themselves. And it just became this very simple idea that took on a life of its own. And I created a card game of questions that skipped the small talk that I would use as a tool when I gave these events for schools and nonprofits and businesses. And then that became a product that I sold, and I was able to actually start, you know, making money through Big Talk and really dive into it. And then I did a research project in Singapore on how to use Big Talk to build empathy across cultures. And I saw how Big Talk could really translate, you know, when traveling. It became sort of my passport to the world because it was just such an easy way to meet new people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, since then I've just been working on Big Talk full time. You know, there's the business side of things like selling the card game and doing events for companies. Then there's also just the passion of still making videos and talking to people and bringing Big Talk to schools to talk about mental health or nonprofits for a variety of reasons. And I'll stop right there because that was very long.
Well, and not to mention that you're also working on an app I saw on the website as well.
Oh yeah. And we just released a Big Talk question app because a lot of people are like, oh, the card game is great. I have right here. But yeah, they're like, it's hard to, you know, walk around carrying cards all the time. Yeah. So now it's just a mobile app as well.
Prior to having heard about you, like we had this little Bunky Life connection card, similar idea. It's just so cool to see like ideas like that converge. And it, I'm guessing if you could explain the card game, it's basically like just individual cards you'll draw and they have like kind of a vulnerable or a thought provoking or a just connection kind of question. Is that a summary of what the cards are?
Sure. Yeah. So the card game is, it's very simple. It's not really even a game. It's just a set of questions and it's very small and bite sized. I think the small portability of it makes it cute and less intimidating to have these kinds of conversations, but every question is designed to be something that is universal. So anyone could answer it, no matter who they are, what they do, what they look like, their age, anything like that. Yep. Open-ended. So it's not just a yes or no question. And then meaningful, it goes beyond the small talk.
That makes sense. That's great. I love that concept. So what is the app going to be just a digital version of the card game, or will there be other dimensions to the app?
Yeah. So the app has the original deck and then it also has new decks. Cause a lot of times people have been asking me like, oh, could you do more so Big Talk questions for dating or Big Talk questions for work or travel and things like that. And, you know, I don't have the resources yet to produce physical cards in bulk, but on the app, you can just add them in and test them out and see which ones people like. So the app has a hundreds of questions, whereas the card game has 90. Yep. We're hoping to introduce more features like kind of a how to play Big Talk 101 education module on the app and different prompts that'll help people feel empowered to make Big Talk, because, you know, it can be kind of intimidating to bring it up on your own.
Yeah, that's so cool. I wonder, like with the app, there's so many possibilities that you could do in terms of like bringing that group of people that are all like you touched on earlier, we're all looking for those deeper conversations. And it's kind of like, you feel like you're a bit of a gopher and you want to kind of poke your head up and be like, who else feels the same way? Oh, no, nobody today. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if the app could be like, oh, there are five people around you that would like to have an actual conversation.
I've thought about it. That'd be so cool to kind of introduce it into, communities, almost like a meetup style, but something more organic.
Yeah.
Just need to figure out how to not turn it into something that's just like a dating app, you know,
but yeah,
just
I was gonna like say, yeah, everyday people. Tinder type vibes to it as well. So
yeah, I don't want to go there. Yeah,
for sure. That's awesome. So I guess let's dive into it. So obviously, you know, the Meaningful Connection podcast, the audience is people that have friends, family, loved ones that they want to connect with deeper. And this is like perfect tie into what we're looking for. What are some of the practical things you've learned in your travels and your experiences that are just practical things that we can do to initiate those conversations? If maybe we've got those relationships where maybe dad and I don't talk about anything other than sports and the weather, right? How do we slowly nudge that without it feeling like weird?
Sure. I mean, practically, you have to find the right time and place to make Big Talk. And a lot of that can be, you know, if you're on a walk with a family member, or you're just having dinner with them, or you have a special event that you're all at, whether it's like a family reunion or a wedding. And then you can just very simply introduce the concept of Big Talk, because then that takes the pressure off of you and puts it on Big Talk. You say like, oh, hey, like, want to try doing Big Talk instead of small talk and like ask a few questions. So by making it really simple and easy to grasp, people will go right into it. And yep. questions don't have to be scary or intimidating. They don't have to be like, what do you want to do before you die necessarily? It can be like great dinner party conversation. For example, oh, what are you curious about lately? Yep. Or what are you looking forward to? Or what's something that you've been learning about yourself lately or learning at work? Just very simple questions where you're not just sitting there stuck, you know, gossiping about the family or talking about the weather.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're saying kind of reminds me of the idea that, you know, people like successful people don't have great answers. They generally have better questions. Yeah. And all the questions that you just mentioned are like very open, like I said, open-ended, and I can see them stimulating that type of conversation that would just automatically filter into more conversation that filters into more deeper topics and connection.
Yeah. It usually just starts with one question. And then from there, it really progresses and the conversation takes on a life on its own, but it really just takes, you know, like stepping over that boundary from small talk to big talk.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. The boundary of small talk and big talk. So it's about being deliberate about the time and place. That was kind of your answer to that. What about if you have relationships that maybe you have in the past not been able to break through? Like, what are some ways conflictual relationship, but a relationship where you've never been able to break that barrier with that person? Are there kind of more advanced techniques that you might be as the pastor?
Well, I think what might seem advanced is actually very simple. Like a lot of times people build things up in their minds so much and it can be so hard to just like overstep that own barrier in your mind. You're like, oh my God, this can be so hard to have a conversation like this. Like I can never talk to my estranged father about, you know, what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. But you can literally just call someone or text someone, say like, hey, I know we haven't caught up in a while, but I'd love to hear how you're really doing. You know, it's really about wanting to know how someone is really and not just doing the surface. Level type of conversation. So like, I don't have any like secret advanced ingredient for, you know, having those kinds of conversations. It really first step is just being open to it. Or even before that, just being aware of what kinds of conversations you aren't having that you want to be having. Mm-hmm. And then after that, just having the courage and open-mindedness to take that first step. Like all it takes is just being the first one to reach out, which a lot of us, you know, we have so much ego around it and we don't want to be the first one, but just be that person. The worst thing that'll happen is you might get rejected, but like if you hadn't reached out, you never would have talked to them anyways. So that's the worst thing that could happen.
I think a big part of it, a component of that is just putting yourself in a vulnerable spot, because asking that question is a bit vulnerable. And you have to be able to answer your own, provide your own answer to that same similar question, because that's going to obviously come up. Oh, what do you, you know, if you're asking the question, and you're personally guarded, that's
a great point.
Yeah.
I think mutual vulnerability, as you said, is a great point. I find that the more open and vulnerable I am, the more people will be back with you. Cause you know, everyone's kind of dipping their toes in the water, testing it out until someone just dives right in and just says, and they're like, oh yeah, me too. Like the greatest friendships often form by just being like, you too, like that. I also am going through that, but I never talked to anyone about that.
Yeah. I can attest to that. I think that, while you're in that guarded position and you've got a wound or a hurt or something, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should share this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm the only one, da, da, da. When you're in that position, it feels like scary to like, ooh, right? Like I'm opening myself up. But from the opposite perspective, when someone, if you think about someone else opening up, oh, I've been through this experience, or this was hurtful for me, or this was something that I was disappointed, whatever it is, your empathy kicks right in right away. And you're like, completely be like, oh, like, you know, and it endears you to that person right away. I've noticed that. Part of our story, my wife and I, is we've had a number of miscarriages and initially, we felt like we're the only ones. Right. And kind of opening up a little bit about it, finding other people that have been through a similar experience, connecting with them, gave us the courage to be like, yeah, maybe we should actually talk about this in a public way. And since we've started doing that over the past couple of years, I think it's had an impact on other people. Now they feel like they're not the only ones. So we're kind of helping people guide people to the light, but also it lightens the load for us. And it allows our relationships to go really deep with our close friends and family that were there with us. Like it added a new dimension, a new depth and perspective to the entire relationship that, you know, maybe we've been friends for 5 years, but we hadn't really ever talked about anything deep. And now it's just like, oh, that's part of the tapestry of our relationship now, which is really nice, you know? And we also had friends that maybe we weren't friends with for that long, but we went really deep, really fast and continue to be really great friends because they were there for us in that situation, or we were there for them in their situation. And I think vulnerability is like, it's like someone's got to go first. Someone has to, right? And I would say in my experience, 9 times out of 10, you're successful. If you're coming from an honest place, you're not trying to manipulate someone by being vulnerable. You're actually just being vulnerable. I think that 9 times out of 10, it works great. And that 1 time out of 10, it's like, well, not everyone.
They're not worth it anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really sorry you had to go through that. But I'm glad you were able to share it with people. Cause like you said, it really does lighten the load. And it's not even like you're unloading it onto someone else. It's actually like you're just putting it out into the world and releasing it.
Yeah.
And someone else can just be there to listen to you. All it takes is just someone who's willing to listen and be supportive in whatever way that means. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was at a wedding on Friday night, and I was just meeting someone new, and he immediately just started talking about how he had struggled with panic attacks over the past year. And like my heart just like reached out to him, because that's something I've gone through before. And I was just so grateful that he was willing to share that. And I felt this instant bond with him. And then after that, you know, the rest of our conversation was all small talk about his, like, his new interior design business and a lot of, you know, just fun, lighthearted things. But I felt more deeply connected with him because he had shared that, and then that I was able to share that back with him.
Yeah. Because that's something that, like, you know, all the stigma around mental health and stuff is like something that's like, oh, you don't want to share, right?
Yeah.
But when like someone else is going through something, which we all go through times of down and depression and stuff like that, instantly you relate to them. It's like, oh yeah, I've been down that exact road, and I totally get where you're coming from. And I can, it's hard to see that from the outside perspective when you're experiencing that and you're right. Feeling, I can't be vulnerable here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's after you go through it, then just do what you can to help others. Yeah. And approach it with optimism, because that provides others with so much help as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. So, okay. So this is absolutely fantastic. So right now, what are you excited about? What are you looking forward to? And what are you kind of building right now with Big Talk, other than the app that we talked about?
Yeah. So right now what I'm working on is creating a whole education curriculum around Big Talk. Because a lot of times, you know, I'll go into a school or a company and give a one-time workshop, and people are like, wow, that was so great. I learned so much about someone in 5 minutes after, you know, 5 years of knowing them. And then after that, I just leave and it's gone. And it doesn't create necessarily sustainable change, or not always, at least. So now I'm working on a more extended kind of continuing education series for Big Talk that dives more into how to actually make Big Talk, and covers different themes like empathy or curiosity or vulnerability. And ties it in with, you know, some fun activities as well. So that's something I'm really excited about working on, and still trying to figure out the delivery method, whether it's, you know, it's an app or latching onto other educational companies and things like that. And then my true passion is really back into, you know, just telling people stories, doing a sort of, you know, like video version of Humans of New York, just walking up to strangers on the street, and really getting to know them. And you just never know where a connection will lead. So not just necessarily being a one-off thing, but it turning into like building a whole community around yourself, and sort of ethos of meaningful connections.
Yeah, I love that.
I'd like to take a short sponsor break to tell you about the company I founded, Bunky Life. What we're famous for are small log cabin kits called Bunkies that can be easily built in a weekend without needing a permit or a second mortgage. I've also authored the book, Bunky Life, Extra Space. Ultimately, we're in the business of helping families create extra space for more meaningful connection. And you can find out more at bunkylife.com. To see if your family might be ready for the Bunky Life, take the free 5-minute quiz at bunkylife.com/quiz. That's bunkielife.com/quiz. And now back to the show.
With regards to like the Humans of New York thing, can you give us a little bit of your experience of like, you know, obviously the first few were scary. You're probably comfortable doing this now. What is your kind of like real, like solid A+ connection ratio versus like complete rejections? I'm sure there's a lot in the middle, but like, what's your win versus loss?
Yeah, sure. You know? I say like 50%.
Yeah.
Which is good enough for me.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, a stranger can teach you so much. I always say like a Big Talk conversation is so much more memorable and impactful than a small talk conversation. I don't remember any of my small talk conversations in life, but I'll remember Big Talk ones. I'll ask a stranger one question, they'll say something, and it'll stick with me forever, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think even just having a 1 in 2 chance of having a meaningful conversation with someone is pretty awesome. And of course, it didn't used to be 1 in 2. Maybe it was like 1 in 5 or something like that. Okay. But it's still good enough.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's like, you know, 1 in 5 or 1 in 2. And the other one is like a complete, like, get out of my face. Like, it's more just like, there's probably some middle ground to that, right? I'm sure.
Definitely.
How many times have you gotten completely chased out of the room or area?
Not really. Cause I think, I don't know, I sort of have a good intuition about who to approach. Like, I don't walk up to someone if they seem busy or don't look like they want it. Like, I never want to accost someone with big talk. It's like, if someone, I can sense that they have time to spare, maybe they're alone sitting in a park and they're just reading a book or something like that. Or, you know, it's a few smiling, open looking people that look like they're on vacation. Like, those are the people I approach. I'm not necessarily going to approach someone who looks mad and busy. Or dangerous.
Yeah. If they're sharpening a knife, maybe you can let that one slide.
Yeah. Like, first you see who might seem open to it, and then you ask. You don't just go for anyone.
Yep. That makes sense. Cool. So along lines of like within the family structure or the close and intimate friend group, what are some practical ways that you've observed people making deeper connections with their friends and family?
Yeah. Camping trips are great. Vacations in general, long road trips. I had a woman who was on actually last road trip with her husband before he passed away this past year. And she said she brought out the card game, and then they just went through like the entire deck on their 7-hour road trip. Awesome. And she just said, wow, I'm so grateful for that, because I really got to bond with him and learn even more about him towards the end of his life. Yeah. So times when you have uninterrupted time with family, it's really hard to grab family when they're in the middle of a meeting or on their way to do an errand. But if you're doing something that's supposed to be leisurely, like, you know, chilling out in a bunkie.
Yeah. Still the product, but that makes sense. Part of the reason that that we do what we do within our company is like we get that we're making a great thing, but ultimately we're helping people create space for connection. That's really like the whole point of our business.
Yeah.
And like you say, like, you kind of have to be proactive about creating that time and creating that space. And deliberate is probably the word, actually, deliberate and proactive. And you probably could, like, I'm thinking when you said running an errand, I'm thinking like, I could throw my 7-year-old daughter in the back of the car and we could have that type of chat while we're running an errand. Like, it doesn't have to be like super formalized, buy a bunkie or go on a road trip. Road trip. Sneak them in small spurts as well. But I think the being conscious of like, I'm making time to do this thing and to at least do my 50% of making a big talk conversation happen.
Yeah. It does take a certain level of intentionality. And sometimes, you know, being a little cheesy and bringing it up, like, for example, whenever I see the sunset and I'm with someone, I like to say to them, I'm like, oh, whenever the sun's setting, I always like to say 3 things I'm grateful for and 3 things I'm looking forward to. Like, what are some of those things for you? And I always have really nice conversations with people around that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So this is completely for personal satisfaction, but like, you seem like a well put together, very accomplished person as a young person here. Can you give us a little bit of the idea of like the fuel that's gone into this tank of Kalina? Because like, I'm curious as like, you know, you seem a very insightful young person. Not that other insightful young people, but tell me more about the parenting that's produced you and the thought process and education and you know, books and the fuel to
sure, sure.
Produce, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I grew up in Santa Monica, which is, you know, very safe, nice, beachy town, and it's diverse. And I was always open to meeting all kinds of people. So I was very comfortable with that. My parents are both doctors, and my grandparents and my great grandparents. So I'm like, and my sister's about to start medical school on Monday. So I'm kind of like the, I don't know, black sheep, or I don't know, that's a negative connotation. Yeah. Yeah. You too.
I was the musician. So I have four brothers, and I started as a musician. My mom had like a
cool. I love music. We should talk about that some other time. But you know, growing up, I always did a diverse array of activities. And I was kind of like what do you call it when you're not the expert but you're good at lots of things?
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly. and because of that, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do for a career, because I like everything. I love meeting new people. I love traveling. What am I going to do? So I applied for journalism school because I figured that's how you could meet lots of people all the time and explore different worlds and kind of dip your toes into all of them. So that is what led me to learn how to, you know, interview people and make videos and walk up to people. That led to Big Talk. But what fuels me are definitely the conversations. Like whenever I feel stuck, it's talking to someone, just having that kind of Big Talk conversation. And also being by the water. I like to go surfing. I go swimming. That's really how I unstick my mind. And I'm also really into art and just kind of living a more fluid lifestyle. Like, don't get me wrong, I run a business and I do corporate things and things like that, but I'm very flexible. And, you know, a great like kind of business or startup quote I heard once was they said a lot of people make the mistake that you have to have some big grandiose goal and work towards that. But what really you should do is move forward from promising situations. Mm. And that's kind of how I've led my life and led my growth with Big Talk, is it growing it very organically. And if something feels right or meaningful or promising, I work on that. And that's why Big Talk kind of has lots of different arms. And it's not necessarily maybe like one core concrete thing, but it's this concept that I just apply to different aspects of life when it makes sense and when it's promising.
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me. And I tend to connect well with people that have that reinvention aspect to them as well. I've reinvented myself a few times as well. I'm now the bunky guy, and I was previously, a professional musician. And that can freak people out in your life, especially if you're from a long line of doctors or proficient people. How have you guys managed that within the family? Like you said, you're the black sheep. Right? Is that like I'm black sheep, or is it like actually like no, mom and dad have ripped me out of the will?
No, I'm very close with my family. They're very supportive. I think what's hard is that they don't necessarily know what to do with me or how to help me. And it's something that scares me too, because sometimes I don't know where to go for help. But that's why I just really turn to friends and family and strangers and reading things on the internet and just let that kind of guide my way and inform it. Mm-hmm. Because even if your friends and family don't have domain knowledge in what you're doing, like they're the ones who are going to be the most supportive and be the best sounding board for you. Yep. But like there was a time when I left college for a year and a half. I didn't actually go back, but still got my degree because I felt like Big Talk was promising and there was so much going on in my mental health, which is going down the drain because I was trying to do school and Big Talk and run this club and all this stuff. And I was having seasonal affective disorder, and I came home and it was really scary. And my parents were kind of freaked out and they were like, are you going to finish school? What's happening? And I just said, I need time. And that was hard. And that was kind of a dark time. But during that time was when I ended up, you know, giving the TEDx for Big Talk and all these things. So, you know, like they say, you can only connect the dots moving backwards, like just trust in yourself and, trust in those transitional times and the messiness of them and that you'll come out of them, even if while you're doing them, it can be really dark. Mm-hmm. And just seek the support from the people who, know you best and love you the most, whether that's parents or others. I'm lucky that my parents are supportive, but it's definitely hard because I don't have a straight path and I don't have a clear sense of like huge future income or anything like that, but I'm just trying to trust in it.
Yeah. I think that those type of weird accidents that are coming from a good place in your heart, like tend to, at least in my case, so I'm kind of a little bit, this is a personal thing, but we're kind of over that financial hump. Like Bunky Life is now very viable, like really viable, especially this past year.
Congrats.
I didn't never know it was going to be. Just like, I love this thing. It helped really get our family through something meaningful, help create connection in our family, help create freedom and things for us. It's like, maybe other people might be like, it wasn't this like, oh, I have this master business plan and intended, you know what I'm saying? And I find like the meanderers, we'll call ourselves maybe perhaps, that maybe reinvent themselves three or four times before you kind of get an idea. They tend to eventually land with their feet up or feet on the ground, if that makes sense. My experience, as long as they're like, you know, in that development mindset of like, I want to make sure development mindset of like, I'm going to keep growing and keep adding more value to the world and giving more to people.
Totally.
I am very impressed by you. I have no doubt in my mind that whatever Big Talk grows into is going to be huge and awesome.
I appreciate that so much. And it's inspiring to see what you've done too.
Yeah, thank you. What I will say is, the Meaningful Connection podcast for us is we want to make sure we're asking like real direct, like let's draw the most practical things as we can of each guest. Right.
Yeah.
So we've talked about like the vulnerability aspect, creating time and creating space. If there was like a top three things that like kind of encapsulate the Big Talk concept, and actions that we can all like day to day take, what would you say those three things are?
Sure. Maybe have a set of questions like in your arsenal that you want to ask or be asked. Like you said, you know, it's a two-way street.
Yep.
And have those in the top of your mind. Like, these are the questions I'm going to ask people when I get this opportunity. Or like, these are the questions I want to ask at dinner. Or these are the questions I want to use to make big talk with myself every morning or every night before going to bed. Things like that. So like, have it already and laid out for you. Okay. Like, I had to do that by like creating I created the game so I could just have questions to go to, because I don't always pull them off the top of my head.
Yep.
So that's one. Two is figuring out how to structure it into your life if you can. Like, I mean, we talked a lot about making it very organic, but if you can structure into your life, like, oh, it's Friday night family dinner, like, we're going to start off the night with a big talk question to close off the week, something like that. Yep. Because humans really like structure and they're scared of uncertainty.
Yep.
Or in your own mind, you can structure it in with yourself, but like, really, you're going to like a networking event in your own mind. You're like, oh, I'm going to meet three new people tonight and ask them this question. So kind of like turn it into a game with yourself, sort of an activity that you build into your life.
Yeah. Do you find that that the big talk concept really is like, there's the whole spontaneous element of the conversation that ensues, but you want to have it like latched on to this trellis I'm not gonna say planning, but structure, I guess. You want to have a structure that the vine can grow around, if that makes sense.
Totally. Like, big talk doesn't stand on its own. Big talk is a part of life. So it needs to latch onto some sort of platform, whether that's, you know, the beginning of your Zoom calls at work and you introduce big talk as the way to start off a Zoom call to just like check in on everyone and like before you just get right down to business, or whether it's like the end of the week with your family dinner, or whether it's like a date night activity that you're like, tonight we're going to, you know, ask each other these 10 vulnerable questions. Like, you need something to latch onto that can exist in real life. Otherwise it's too amorphous and you don't really know what to do with it. Like what you called it, a trellis of adding
questions. That's like a structured trellis that the vine of spontaneity can grow on, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Like, even like, we had a physical structure the other day. We went to the beach and we had this big like clothing rack. We just hung blank note cards from it and invited people to stop by and answer big talk questions. So it was like literally a structure. People wrote down their answers. And then from there, people were just standing around and talking. Or like, the card game is a physical thing that people can latch onto, or an app, or your, or the structure of your activities at work, you know?
Yep. That makes sense. Okay. So if you want to get the card game, how do they do that?
You can go to Amazon or thebigtalkshop.com. So my website has all the information. It's just makebigtalk.com. And that has links to the videos, including the first one that started Big Talk, the Before I Die one, has a link to the card game, to, you know, stories, to information about how to use Big Talk for business or universities and things like that.
That's wonderful.
Makebigtalk.com.
We want to find more about you. Where are you tweeting? Are you Instagramming? I don't know what the young kids are doing these days.
So. everything I do is either at Make Big Talk or at Kalina Silverman. Okay. So Kalina Silverman is more, you know, just my like personal beachy life and my thoughts on life and empathy and cheesy little things that make me happy. And then Make Big Talk is all directly related to Big Talk. I have Instagram. I got YouTube, Make Big Talk, and then Twitter at Kalina Silverman. There's a LinkedIn for Make Big Talk where we talk more about the business side of having meaningful conversations. But you can find links to all that at makebigtalk.com.
This is such an engaging conversation for me, and I learned a lot. I like a practical things I can think about doing tonight with my kids at bed and stuff. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, Kalina. It was a really great conversation. People, you got to follow what she's doing. You got to get these cards. they sound fantastic. And once again, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking with you today.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you've learned a lot, but beyond just mere intellectual entertainment, I hope it's changed the way you see relationships and inspired you to take action and make a connection with someone in your life today. Do it. I'd love to hear about it. And you can always email me directly at david@funkylife.com with the subject meaningful connection. Love to hear your stories.